So we had the Sunday of the Paralytic last Sunday, and then the Feast of Mid-Pentecost, which was this past Wednesday. Today's Sunday of the Samaritan Woman, and the Sunday of the Blind Man next week. And all these actually have a particular thing in common: water. The paralytic laid for 38 years near this miraculous pool of Bethesda, waiting for healing when the angel would trouble the water. Mid-Pentecost is right in the middle between Pascha and Pentecost. And it centers on the scripture, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart," actually it says out of his belly, but the Holy Fathers say it really refers to out of our heart, "will flow rivers of living water." And then today's encounter with the Samaritan woman, of course, takes place at Jacob's well, which was a blessed place. And then on the Sunday of the Blind Man, which will be next Sunday, Christ, of course, tells him to wash in the pool of Siloam after his healing. And the pool of Siloam was also a blessed place. So the Holy Fathers tell us that this living water that Christ has spoken about is an image of the Holy Spirit. Now, everyone who's been baptized has been cleansed of their sins through immersion in water and received the Holy Spirit. However, we must draw closer and closer to Christ throughout the entire course of our life if we wish to be his faithful disciples. As St. Seraphim of Sarov said, the primary goal of man's life is to acquire the grace of the Holy Spirit. And by acquiring, you know, the peace, the grace of the Holy Spirit, he says that 1,000 around us will be saved. Well, now today's Gospel of the Samaritan Woman gives us a glimpse into how Christ also draws us closer to himself. He comes into contact with her in the midst of her everyday life. This isn't some special thing where she's, you know, in a shrine or on top of a mountain or something like this. She's just going about her everyday activities, you know, getting some water. Well, he also did the same with the fishermen. You know, they were just out there fishing and mending their nets, and then he said, "Come and follow me." You know, so sometimes Christ comes to us just in our everyday lives, and, you know, and we just have to be aware. Christ's request for a drink of water, as ordinary as a question as that was, nonetheless begins a process by which this Samaritan woman will be transformed. When she points out that it's not customary for Jews to have any dealings with the Samaritans, then Christ, you know, answers that if she knew the gift of God, she would have asked him for living water. So he's, through this conversation with her, he's actually drawing her closer to himself and filling her with the Holy Spirit, just as she would draw water from this well, you know, drawing it gradually up in the bucket with the rope. Well, now, she does not understand that he's speaking of the Holy Spirit, and so all she can think of is that he doesn't have anything to draw water with, and the well is very deep. In other words, because the Jews considered the Samaritans heretics and would have nothing to do with them, it really wouldn't have been appropriate for her to loan him her bucket, because that would be unclean somehow, you know. So she didn't want to violate, you know, the traditions and all that. So she's kind of at a loss as to what to do, because he doesn't have a bucket, he wants water, she can't loan him his, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, this is a real terrible quandary, you know. Well, then the Lord says that the water he will give her will be a well springing up into everlasting life. And when he talks about this living water, sometimes the term living water can apply to like a spring, for example, you know, that's as opposed to water that's in a cistern somewhere. You know, in other words, or a flowing stream, you know, it's like living water. So that's kind of what she's thinking. Somehow he's got some source of this living water that would be some kind of spring, and then she's thinking, if she could figure out where that is or how to do that, then she won't have to keep walking over to the well all the time and getting water and having to lug it back, because, you know, it's a lot of work. It's heavy. And so she asks Christ to give her this living water, thinking that it's just some kind of, you know, regular fresh water. Well, the thing is, Christ has her attention now. You know, she's kind of, you know, interested in what he's saying. Well, then Jesus changes the subject completely. He stops talking about water, and he says, well, go call your husband. And at first, actually, the Holy Fathers point out, she tries to hide it, like Adam and Eve tried to hide that they were naked in the Garden of Eden. You know, they tried to hide their sin. So she says, I don't have a husband, you know, thinking that that'll be the end of the matter. But the Lord then reveals her whole past. He says, well, that's right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you have now is you're not even married. You're just living with this guy. So at this point, you know, many just average people would go, who are you to, you know, poke your nose into my business? Why, you know, just get lost. I don't, you know, or they would just leave. You know, they would, why would they do this? But now the Samaritan woman begins to understand that this is not just some regular guy, she says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet, because only a prophet could be clairvoyant like that, could actually, you know, read someone's sins and know about their life, never having met them. And so she doesn't even worry anymore about this water or about her sins. She's, okay, you got me. I'm a sinner. I mean, she doesn't even say that. But now this question obviously has been in her mind for a long time. Where should God be worshipped? You know, the Jews say you got to worship in the Temple of Jerusalem, and the Samaritans' tradition was to worship on this Mount Gerizim, and they believe that that's where Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac. Of course, God, at the last minute, told him, you know, to not sacrifice him. But then Christ tells him, well, the Jews, salvation is of the Jews. In other words, they have the correct understanding of the law and the prophets and all that. And the Samaritans did have some errors. They did accept the law, but they didn't accept the prophets. And then he tells her that, nonetheless, you know, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So it's not as important whether it's in this temple or this mountain or someplace or another. You know, God is, I mean, obviously the temple is a very conducive place to worship. That's why we have a church and so forth. But it's not true that God physically only is in just the church, and then as soon as we leave, then God's not there anymore. I mean, you know, so that's what Jesus is trying to tell her. And then she says, okay, well, I guess we'll just have to wait till the Messiah comes, because, you know, then he's going to teach us everything. And amazingly, Christ reveals outright that he, in fact, is the Messiah. And she believes him, because he knows that she's going to believe. That's why he tells her this. But it's interesting that many times Jesus would be asked by the leaders of the Jews, you know, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? And he would just be silent or, you know, whatever. But in this case, because they weren't going to believe in him, that's why he didn't reveal himself to the more educated folks. But this woman is a simple person who actually is a faithful person, and so he tells her. Now this is something amazing happens here. This Samaritan woman has now, just in this short time through this conversation, has been transformed by Christ. She's been filled with inspiration and discernment, and now takes up an apostolic mission to go spread the good news. She goes into the city, she tells everyone about Jesus, and in a similar way, she invites them to come and see him, just as Philip invited Nathanael to come and see when he was under the fig tree. So brothers and sisters, Christ is really calling us too to draw closer to him and to be filled with and renewed by the Holy Spirit. And he calls us through his holy church, but also through the scriptures and in our everyday life. And yet sometimes due to our distractions and busyness that we get caught up in, we sometimes miss that call. We sometimes, you know, aren't aware of his presence because, you know, we're just focusing on things that we're involved in. And sometimes we forget that our primary goal in life is to acquire the Holy Spirit. Yet the Lord is very patient with us, and he knows just the right way to reach us and to offer to us this living water of the Holy Spirit. So like the Samaritan woman, we should let the Lord reveal our sinfulness and repent of that. You know, it's said that pride blinds and that humility is the opposite virtue that opposes pride. So when we humble ourselves before Christ and we acknowledge our shortcomings, our failings, our sinfulness, and we have the sacrament of confession for that, then Christ will reveal himself to us and will fill us with that grace of the Holy Spirit. And then we can fulfill our calling as his disciples to serve as witnesses to the truth. O merciful Lord, forgive us for not always hearing your call to us, and help us, for we are weak. But in our weakness, we know that your strength is made perfect. Grant us the grace of the Holy Spirit, that with your help, we can fulfill all that you've called us to. Christ is risen.